Welcome to the 9th episode of the Building Better Gamers podcast, a podcast where I interview people that apply their passion for gaming in ways that not only help the community, but possibly society as a whole. As always, the Building Better Gamers podcast is a proud member of the MTGCast network. Get your audio fix on all things related to Magic the Gathering at mtgcast.com. Also, this podcast is brought to you by one of my day jobs, Classic Media House. If you're interested in getting management, promotion, booking, and label submissions for only 96 cents a day, send an email to info@classicmediahouse.com and tell them I sent you. On this episode, I did an interview with Kevin Nanny, also known as PPMD. Call me biased, but in my opinion, Kevin is the number one Super Smash Bros. Melee player in the world. That's why right after his win at Apex this year, I had to do an interview with him and get his name out there as much as possible. In order to do that, I teamed up with David Allen, who writes gaming columns for The Wake Weekly. During this interview, we covered the world of esports, the state of competitive Smash Brothers, and dealing with depression. Being a person that's personally dealt with depression, it meant a lot to me seeing someone push through it and perform at their fullest potential. I hope other people who are going through a similar journey take his advice and do the same. Alright, catch you guys on the flip side.
I was talking with Charles. We're going to kind of like tag team a little bit on the questions here.
Okay.
I'm a little bit newer to the scene of Smash Bros. I played the original version a bit on the Wii. Never anything competitive, of course.
Okay.
But I do enjoy the game. Had some fun with that. But I guess to start off with, for readers who are new to it, I'm going to be writing a column about this for the paper I work for. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of talk to me a little bit about what made Smash Bros. An effective esports game? Because esports is a new term people are getting used to, and just a little bit of explanation of how it over other games made into esports would be really interesting to hear, in your opinion.
Okay, so do you want me to go into just all of Smash or the one I play? Because that's a little different.
Well, what do you play?
I play Melee for the GameCube.
Okay. Now, how is that different from other Smash games?
Melee is different from the other Smash titles in that it is probably the most spectator-friendly, in that it is fast-paced. There's usually always something really exciting happening. The characters are going fast, or there's a very exciting, easy-to-watch combo happening that's still very difficult, and people really enjoy that. In the other games, the action is a lot more slowed down. Or the characters are more restricted or something like that, and it's just not as enjoyable for people to watch. And, of course, on the player side, because Melee is so fast, you have a lot more reactions you have to do. And so you're making more decisions in the same amount of time, and a lot of players find that that's a deeper interaction. And that's kind of where my support for the game comes from. And I think that's what's built Smash into a bigger series as an esport is Melee, and I say this because when 64 was out, it did not get the exposure that Melee did. Melee got onto the MLG circuit in 2005-2006, mm-hmm. and brawled it for a short time afterward, but did not last as long. Melee ended up bringing the series back onto a major fighting game organization circuit. Called the Evolution Circuit in 2013, and that's led to this explosion into esports that we see today.
Cool. So what you're saying is it's kind of like a forerunner for a lot of the esports movements that's going on right now.
It's actually lagged behind a little bit in that, the computer games, the League of Legends, the StarCraft, Dota, those guys, I mean, those are the front runners. Those are the poster kids of esports. they're bringing everyone up through their exposure, through their huge numbers and presence on the streaming service Twitch.tv. Those guys are the ones that are really doing it. And then there are some other computer games that are also doing that. And, you know, so trickling down farther, you know, we have then there's also like Call of Duty. That those games are also getting tremendous exposure, things like that. So then we have fighting games, which, you know, which Smash is kind of a part of. And Street Fighter, still bigger. And so then we finally get down to, you know, one of the lower rungs, and we're really building up from this point, but we're new to this, given this has only been a year and a half for us really being part of this. And that's kind of where Melee and now Smash 4 is, the one for the Wii U.
Okay. Do you think this new title that has been recently released has given any energy to the Smash Bros. Competitive scene?
Probably some. I mean, their first big tournament, they put up, I want to say over 830 entrants for singles, which is really good. And you know, obviously it's kind of, at this point, you know, it's hard to tell how much of this is the esports hype, how much of this is Nintendo starting to sponsor events, how much of this is Melee's continued success. I don't really have answers for those types of questions because it's really hard to, you know, disentangle everything at this point, but, you know, Smash is getting more attention than ever, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Smash 4, the new title, is part of that.
It's really nice to see, on a kind of a side note, how esports success for one game is kind of like a success for everybody, just because it's trying to get that recognition that esports is a legitimate thing. It's a really big deal. And personally, I've been in esports on other sides of the map. I've always felt like when I hear about new tournaments or new games that are starting up, it just adds more fire to everybody, and gives more people a sense of that they can get into this in one realm of the game or another. But back to you, how did you originally get started in this?
Well, I originally got started long before esports, and, you know, long before really a lot of esports even existed, I think, or at least a little while before. This is in summer of 2007, I believe it was July, and I was just sitting around. YouTube was, you know, bigger by then, one of my first ever YouTube searches, if not my first. And I was just sitting around, and I was playing Melee on my own. You know, I was just a casual player. I was playing Mario, and I was one of the regular people who had this type of story. You know, I beat all my friends, was best of my block, and, you know, I was always curious if there was, like, you know, more challenges, you know, beyond that. I figured there had to be. You know, there's a lot of people out there, and a lot of people are pretty smart. So I thought, well, there must be someone out there. You know, can anyone beat my Mario? And so for the heck of it, I searched professional Super Smash Brothers Melee players, and I got more than I bargained for, but I was hooked and I loved it. And I mean, basically, it was everything I, you know, ever kind of dreamed of that I wanted in a game. And so I was super hooked. And the resources that were online kind of led to, like, how to play videos, which led to, like, ways to get into the community. And, you know, it was, you know, all downhill from there.
That's awesome. What has been something that has kept you in the circuit for this long? Has it just been the love of the game?
Well, yeah, like I was starting to say in the story before, I used to, When I was younger, I didn't have anything I really knew I wanted to do. Like, I would, you know, change, like, career ideas and whatever. I wanted a lot. And you know, I was a good student and all that stuff. And, you know, I would play games, and, you know, I liked them a lot. And I liked Melee a whole lot, and I liked other games a lot. But I always thought, you know, there's this perfect game that I always wanted. And I always wanted it to be, like, a fighting game. And it's mostly just because I wanted it to be competitive, and I wanted to try and beat people because that's just who I am. And I was thinking, you know, I wanted it because I played Street Fighter and other games, and I was like, well, you know, those games are good, but I don't like how restricted, how small the worlds feel and everything, the levels feel. I like it. I feel like there's just so much more freedom in Melee. And so I wanted a game that was like that, but I wanted it to be, you know, here's what I thought. I wanted it to be faster. I wanted it to be, you know, more inputs. I wanted it to be so much harder. I think it'd be so much more intense. And when I learned that Melee was basically, you know, I thought to myself, that would be the perfect game. I'd play that, you know, all the time. That would be so much fun. And when I realized that Melee was the perfect game sitting right there for me anyway, I got so excited. And I've lost that feeling on and off over time, admittedly, but pretty much that feeling has been, you know, what's kept me going the whole time. Like, it's just been what I wanted to do and kind of what I've really dreamed of doing. And it's wonderful that it's worked out. And to see myself get better, to see myself, like, you know, build ideas with other people that are very smart all over the world, and just to learn so much more about myself and other people through it, you know, there's so many reasons that have just built up over time. But that good feeling, that feeling of, you know, loving this game and what it gives me is, you know, I think one of the simplest things, but one of the strongest things that's kept me here.
That's awesome. Just probably one more question before I hand it over to Charles. He had some questions of his own. What's brought you back? I hear that you were on a long hiatus.
Well, yeah, that's true. I after last summer, I took a break, and I wasn't done, but I really needed the break, and I kind of let people know in the fall that, you know, there was a reason I wasn't attending stuff for the past couple months, and there were some personal things going on. I was very depressed, and I felt like my fans and other people just needed to kind of know what was going on, and I think it was good for me too to tell everyone, because, you know, I really needed to be able to talk about what was going on with me. So I told everyone. I said, I'm not in the best place mentally right now. I don't think competing would be good for me. My sponsoring organization, Team Evil Genius, has been very gracious in letting me take the time off I need to put myself back together. And I'll be back in time for this major that'll happen. This one that happened, you know, a couple weeks ago now, Apex. And, you know, people were pretty understanding about it. I think, like, you know, after a couple more months passed, people were kind of like, all right, well, you need to go to something, we're getting tired of it. But pretty much everyone was pretty understanding, which was nice. And I had to do it for myself. You know, I'm not out of the woods yet, but it's a whole lot better for me now than it was then. And I'm very lucky that the Smash community and my sponsor gave me the time to kind of work some things out.
That's really good. I'm really glad to hear that went well. Well, that has all been really awesome. I'm going to hand it over to Charles, who has some questions for himself.
All right.
So, Kevin, as I was looking through your other recent interviews, a word that came up often that you mentioned was mindset. Mm-hmm. What I wanted to know was, have you always found that to be a very important factor when competing, or is it just something that's kind of, you know, stuck out to you the most as of late?
That's a good question. I will say that I am known as the mindset guy now. People ask me for advice on that all the time, tournament mentality, you know, whatever. They always say, write more about it. Even high-level players will talk to me and say, hey, I'd love to read something you write about that. And that's an interesting feeling.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. I think I've been interested in it. In a way, I guess you could argue that I've always kind of been interested in it, even before I knew it was that important. You know, in high school, I would spend a ton of time just figuring out why people were doing, you know, stuff they were doing. You know, I was well liked by everyone, but I was still a little weird. Didn't have a lot of friends, even though that was, you know, it was a bit strange. And I thought, and I was always kind of watching people, and I was always so curious about why everyone was doing everything. And it just seemed so interesting to me all the time. Like, things I think people didn't think about at all. Just, you know, why certain things were funny, and, you know, just different stuff like that. And so I spend a lot of time just trying to figure that out. And, you know, you know, I would come up with theories and I would try them with people and see what happens. And so I've always kind of been like this, even before I played Smash. And then I played and I found, and, you know, and people would talk about mindset a little bit, but it was always really vague and confusing, and I didn't really get a whole lot out of it. And it wasn't really until that I became a top player and I saw what was on the other side of, you know, everyone talking about mindset and everything, that I really felt I needed to get into it, because I felt like what everyone knew about mindset wasn't really helping them very much. And I came across some very helpful books and a very helpful person that would help me kind of flesh out a lot of mindset ideas, and we developed a mindset theory that we're actually still working on, and I'm having a lot of fun developing this competitive psychology type of stuff. I'm not sure how far it's been advanced even in sports psychology, because I've never seen anything in it that looks like what my friend and I are working on. So we're having a lot of fun with it. We're drawing from a lot of different sources, a lot of different books, and I think we're having a lot of fun. I've never seen anyone try anything with it before, but you know, I think eventually one day, you know, I'm kind of hoping to put out maybe something big. You know, I have a bit of an aspiration to maybe write a book one day, or at least like put out a lot of writing that'll be useful to people, and that's kind of a very long term thing. But I figure I'll let you know I'm working on it.
I'm looking forward to it. So, do you think your lack of activity sort of gave you an advantage against the later in the tournament, because there weren't much reference material for the players to base, you know, you play off of?
Yeah, probably. I think that, you know, I think in every obvious advantage, there's a disadvantage, and vice versa. And I think people don't think about that enough. But I will say, the other players don't really use videos for notes like I do. And if you ask any of them, they'll talk about how they don't want their videos uploaded because of how well I use them. That's kind of funny. That probably helped a little bit. I know people were sleeping on me just because I hadn't been attending as much. So that much is definitely for sure. I mean, I was sleeping on me. Shoot, I didn't think I was going to win. I would say definitely that's an advantage that came out of me not being around as much, that ended up working very well in my favor.
Okay. So, one big thing that the community noticed is that out of the top eight players that placed, only one player went through the entire tournament with a single character. And so some people want to call this like the official age of secondaries, right? So is it basically impossible now to go through an entire tournament on like the highest level with a single character?
No. The people that you see switching characters have been playing one character for, you know, years and years and years, pretty much. So they've done a whole lot for one, and they're able to apply a ton of principles about the game and everything that they've learned to another character so they can master it faster. I think that's an important thing to think about. And I think the other thing is that a lot of players are switching. I came up with this kind of today, actually. I think a lot of players are switching characters not because, not because they want to necessarily a bigger competitive advantage. They're more covering their own disadvantages. And I feel like the prevailing mindset for a long time was just get better with your own character and learn the bad matchups instead of pick up something else. And I feel like for various reasons, we're picking up other characters because of things we just don't want to do anymore. But if everyone's kind of doing it, it's a kind of interesting trend, but I think, you know, I think at least the top four characters and, you know, debatably the next few can pretty much just learn their bad matchups and be fine the whole way through an event. But I think we're seeing a lot of changing mentalities more than we are necessarily changing ideas about how the game functions at a top level. But we have to see how this kind of plays out, because we're in the very beginning of all this, and the long-term consequences I don't think are fully realized yet because everyone's switching.
Okay. So since it's more of a mental adjustment per match now more than before, was that basically your thought process when you were competing and your decisions between changing characters?
Yeah, my decisions were different than everyone else's. For example, Mango primarily picked up Fox because he didn't want to fight floaties with Falco, and he didn't, yeah, that's primarily the reason, but then like Fox just ended up working for a bunch of matchups too. And for me it was just a very different reason. I kind of just learned Marth on my own for fun, and eventually I just ended up playing him more because a lot of stuff I was learning about was not really benefiting my Falco and is benefiting my Marth a lot. And he just ended up getting like way better than I thought he would. And it also turned out to be the case that when I've been in a more depressive state, that when I do badly with a character that, you know, is punished much harder, when I make mistakes and he'll get punished much harder. So if I play a floatier character like Marth, he makes a mistake, he might not get hit, or if he does get hit, he won't die for it. And that's just so much more convenient for my mindset. So really, like I said before, I'm covering a mental emotional disadvantage with this extra character, because in-game advantages I don't get too much off of it necessarily. Like if I was all here mentally, I don't know if I would be able to justify playing two characters and splitting my energy between them. There is a very important trade-off where I'm not learning all of my matchups, I'm not staying as solid with one character because I'm dividing my time, things like that.
Okay. So do you see that as the future of your personal metagame, per se? Just playing more conductive to how you feel?
Yeah, kind of. I have to say, to be perfectly honest with you, that's probably the best way to put it, is playing how I feel. In another sense, I think I'm really confused because I do see myself getting farther and farther out of this depressive state. I've been only watching myself improve mentally and emotionally the last few months. That's been really nice. And I think, and I don't really know what I'm going to want for my characters in the future. I have a lot of personal metagame work just in general that I have to do. I just really don't know how it's going to turn out, how the other players are going to turn out. Because sometimes some players are better against one character and worse against another, things like that. But, yeah, honestly, I've got to say that I am not totally sure, and I kind of have to surprise myself at this point. And a lot of people have asked me, you know, are you a Marth player now? Because I just went all Marth pretty much at two characters. It's still kind of new to me. And I just got to say that I'm really confused more than anyone, I think.
I don't know, from an outsider perspective, it's very interesting, and, like, it's really nice to see the growth and get an understanding of, you know, your process and your journey. And so if you could, you know, give some advice to someone that's, you know, dealing with what you had to deal with, like, what could you give them? What could you tell them?
Okay. Well, I mean, the practical advice, so there's a lot of practical advice I can give that I don't think a lot of people give. And, that would be things like, can afford it, absolutely get therapy. That, you know, that works wonders. The next two best proven treatments for depression are exercise and petting a pet. If you don't have a pet, I don't know if I necessarily want to, like, get all the responsibility, but exercise definitely works really well. then, you know, on the other end, it's like there's a, to speak a little more emotionally, there's a stigma against depression, things like that. So if I had been out for several months with a broken arm, people would not have given me as much flack as if I were out for a broken mind, essentially, for a while. And I think that's something that people with depression just kind of need to realize, that we're not there yet as a society. It's recognizing that this is still a serious ailment, and it's still something that you have to, like, take time and, you know, let it heal. If you don't, you don't want to push it and make it worse. And also that if you, and nothing is going to really make it better tomorrow, but if you're working on it and you're trusting yourself to get better, you're keeping out negative influences and you're doing the right things, you are going to see yourself improve and you can get there.
If you don't mind me asking you a silly question, what makes you happy?
Well, I got an easy answer. It's doing what you want to do. And it's an easy answer because I realize that's a simple statement, but it's really hard because, you know, well, what if I want to be an artist, or what if I want to be a writer? People tell you that you can't make a living doing that. But that's all I want to do. I'm like, well, are you happy when you do it? Well, yeah, except for the part where, you know, sometimes I worry about money. It's okay. Well, get whatever you have to get, job to get by, and then, you know, do what you want to do in the meantime. Everything, you know, and it's not just for work. It's like, you know, what I want to do right now. It's like, I want to lay around and eat Cheetos and, you know, watch SpongeBob. Do it. You know, it doesn't, if that's what you ultimately want to do at this moment, then you should just do it, because you'll know what, more or less, when you're going to be tired of it, and you'll know when you need to start, you know, taking care of yourself and what, and, you know, doing things that are more oriented on the future, and you'll do those things too. And I think, you know, if people really do more of what they want to do, as simply as it sounds, I think, you know, people would be a lot happier, and I think they'd have a lot more fun, which is, you know, that's where a lot of happiness comes from too. So I try to not take life too serious when I say things like that, and I really think that would help a lot of people out if they felt that way too.
You know, now that you've, you know, re-solidified yourself as one of the top players, and you're still in the process of getting yourself together and everything, what do you feel is the next step?
Next step. I'll tell you what my next step is. In a few days, I'm going to be streaming, and it's going to be glorious. And I'll tell you why it's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious because there's one, everyone's, including me, has wanted me to do this for months. Two, because it's going to be a whole lot of fun. The channel is going to be a lot of fun. People are going to get to interact with me, and they're going to see how I learn and, you know, things like that. And we're all going to have a good time. And in that way, it's going to benefit me. It's going to help my mental state. And ideally, I mean, I hope anyway, the mental state of some people watching it, they'll have a good time. That, you know, I want to be able to benefit everyone. And three, I want to be able to get the community to improve at the game. Teaching, I like to think I'm a fairly good teacher, and to break down the game in a bunch of different ways to get people inspired, to get them to actually improve and to enjoy the process of improvement like I did, I think that would be a wonderful thing for my stream to accomplish. And if I can get the entire community to experience that feeling, to get better, and then to inspire others to improve, and then eventually even get them to be good enough to where they're using what I've taught them, you know, some of my early days on my stream against me, that would be very wonderful. You know, that benefits the entire community. And that's a lot of what I want to do. I have very big goals. I really want to help Melee keep blowing up as an esport, but just people that are playing it, I want them to have a good time as well. And that's kind of what I want my stream to do. And that's going to feed into, you know, how I want to improve. That's going to feed into, you know, where I want my mentality to be, things like that. And, you know, so the stream's going to be my big focus for the next couple months, because I still want to take some time off, let my mind, you know, keep improving. And eventually I'll start going to bigger stuff probably around April, and we'll just kind of, you know, see where it goes. The summer will be huge, as it always is, and, you know, I look forward to all of that. I think I have good things coming for me.
Big shout out to Kevin for giving us his time and insight. He's a great ambassador for his game, his team, and his community. A big thanks to David for taking part in writing the article. You can find his articles online at wakeweekly.com. Be sure to look up Building Better Gamers on your favorite social media platforms. We just started our Instagram account, so follow us at Building Better Gamers. You can also support us through merchandise at buildingbettergamers.spreadshirt.com. Another quick shout out to Classic Media House and mtgcast.com for supporting us. So that's it. Until next time, be every bit the hero you play, because everyone is a hero, even if the only person you've ever saved is yourself. Peace.